The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brad McDonald, and I'll be your host for today. In today's program, I'd like to talk about a subject that many people probably consider a little bit dry, a little bit boring, but it really is an incredibly important subject. It will affect our lives. It will affect global stability. And this trend that I'm going to talk about today, it's developing right now, and it's moving this world toward more conflict. I'm going to talk today about world trade and commerce. A historic shift is taking place in global trade relationships. Trade relationships that have existed for decades, trade balances that have existed for decades, are being reconfigured. And this reconfiguration is going to have, and it's going to come with, massive political impacts and military impacts. There will be some dramatic consequences. As we get into the program, I'd like to also show how what we're watching with world trade and commerce really is exciting prophetic fulfillment. Major prophecies of our Bible are being fulfilled in the relationships, trade relationships that are falling apart between America and Europe and Britain and Europe, and that are developing between some of these other countries. Now, if you've even glimpsed at the news this week and over the past few weeks, you know that world trade relations are being reconfigured, that everything, it seems, is up for grabs. The Donald Trump presidency in America is one factor kind of destabilizing destabilizing the status quo. Donald Trump has ended the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TTIP, I think it was called. Mr. Trump has been critical of NAFTA. I forget I think it's the North American Free Trade Association or something like that. And he's hinted multiple times at possibly reworking that trade agreement. That's a major agreement. Again, that's existed for years and years, and it looks like it's up for grabs. Mr. Trump has talked about putting tariffs on goods from China, from Mexico, from Germany, as we've reported at thetrumpet.com and on this radio program. Right now in the United States, it's America first. I forget exactly how Donald Trump put it. Buy American, hire American. That's his motto. Buy American, hire American. And this thinking is giving world leaders, it's giving them nightmares every night as they look at their trade relations with America and they don't know where they stand. German leaders don't know where they stand. BMW doesn't know where it stands. Are they going to have to pay a 30%, 35% tariff on every BMW exported to the United States? Another major event that has really thrown world trade relationships into chaos is Brexit. The United Kingdom is figuring out how it's going to leave the EU. And, excuse me, Britain is looking right now at forging new trade agreements with other countries. And the EU is trying to figure out what does life look like without Britain? And how will this affect our trade and our commerce with other countries? China is actively seeking to position itself to replace America as the new champion of world trade and commerce. Again, we wrote about this at thetrumpet.com, but Chinese President Xi Jinping at the recent Davos Economic Summit, this is what he said. He said, some people blame globalization for the chaos of our world. But our problems are not caused by globalization. They are caused by war and conflict. That was a little bit of a jab at Donald Trump. But how ironic that China is emerging as you know, at the vanguard of free trade. But almost every major trade relationship right now is in a state of flux. The status quo of world trade is being reconsidered. There's an enormous amount of uncertainty and fear. I'll just go through some quotes from a recent article from Der Spiegel. This comes out of Germany. And this article just highlights how concerned Germany and Europe and so many world powers are about future trade and commerce. The article says, U.S. President Donald Trump wants to stimulate the American economy, but he has shown no interest in existing trade deals or in the basic rules of economics. It is a dangerous cocktail for German industry. It is an era that began on Donald Trump's first day in the White House, when he turned away from what has been the global economy's most important motor for decades. Free trade and globalization no longer have any place in America's new populism. Now, I think Der Spiegel, their hatred, let's say their animosity for Donald Trump really comes through in almost everything they print. And I mean, there's some merit, often quite a bit of merit to what they write, but I also think there's quite a bit of hyperbole sometimes. And I'm sure there's no doubt that Germany is looking at what's coming out of President Trump's White House, and they're concerned about how it's going to affect trade relations, and they're concerned about what Donald Trump says about the EU. And they're concerned about the chaos and the uncertainty that a Trump presidency is initiating. But at the same time, they're going to exploit that. They're going to work with the situation. This is going to be an opportunity for them to really create a new Europe, to create a new Germany. But anyway, Europe is concerned that Donald Trump is attacking free trade and globalization. Just a couple of more quotes here. In his campaign speeches and tirades against globalization, Donald Trump primarily identified China and Mexico as his enemies. But Germany, a nation of exports, is likely to be third on that list. No other large economy is more reliant on the free exchange of goods and services, on border-free trade and barrier-free exports than the German economy. It's becoming apparent that Trump's presidency represents a break in the transatlantic relationship, the kinds of which haven't been seen since World War II. Now, that's true. I agree with that. And again, as I've made, I think, in the last program that I subbed in for, I think there's some merit to Donald Trump's America First foreign policy. There's some merit to that. One can understand that. But at the same time, it's going to be dangerous to sever the transatlantic relationship. We've talked about this in our trumpet meetings this week and last week in our trumpet meeting. We talked about the fact that America has had to contribute a lot of money in its transatlantic relationship, or it's the same with NATO. NATO really is an American creation, and it's been financed by the United States. And as Mr. Trump says, it's probably cost hundreds of billions, maybe even trillions. But there have been benefits for America from being engaged in a transatlantic relationship with Europe. There have been benefits for America being involved in NATO. The main benefit is it gives America leverage over Europe. It gives America leverage over Germany. It gives America leverage in NATO. Power, political and strategic power. And as we now move into a world where the transatlantic relationship begins to break apart, Well, what is this going to mean? What if America isn't Europe and Germany's number one friend and trade and commerce ally, then who is? Well, we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. China, Asia, Russia. Is America okay with an axis, a trade axis forming between Europe, more Germany, Russia, China, Japan? Well, that might be a little bit frightening. Just continuing with this article, with a U.S. president who openly threatens a German carmaker with punitive tariffs of 35%, one who warns that the Germans were very unfair to the U.S., quoting Donald Trump, it could even mark a shift from friendship to animosity. It talks about how concerned Angela Merkel's government is. Then Der Spiegel continues, is it better to remain composed and unperturbed, relying on rationality, on the strength of decades of ties and the rules of the global economy? These are the questions Germany and Europe are asking. Or would it be better to prepare countermeasures, search for new allies in, for example, Asia, or perhaps even to take advantage of the vacuum that is being created? That's a question that Germany and Europe right now is asking. Would it be better to prepare countermeasures? Do we need to search for new allies in Asia? Do we have to take, or should we take advantage of the vacuum created by America's decision to you know, leave world leadership? And when you look at what's happening in the news, Europe and Germany are leading toward this last option that I mentioned. Just a couple more quotes. This means that the global economic order, as it has been known until now, is history. And then it quotes an economics professor, Thomas Strobar, from the University of Hamburg. It is crumbling at the moment. The global economic order, it is crumbling at the moment, this professor says. He says the international division of labor is undergoing a reordering and that Germany must still find its place in that new order. Germany is finding its place in this new world trade order. Der Spiegel continues, in order to prevent the situation from deteriorating that dramatically, the government in Berlin is already exploring alternatives to transatlantic trade. So they're already looking for new trade relationships. They're already looking for new partnerships. A string of trade deals with countries across the Pacific boom region is envisioned, providing access to German companies. A little under 6 years ago, the EU reached an initial trade deal with South Korea. Since then, German exports to South Korea have risen by around 50%, but improved ties with China would hold even greater promise. A new Berlin-Beijing alliance could, in part at least, supplant the old transatlantic order. Is that really what the world wants? Germany and China uniting? Or they're not going to unite politically, but Germany and kind of, you know, developing closer trade and commerce relations? Is that really what the world wants? Is that really what America wants? The importance of the Chinese economy has been growing for years now among its neighbors. With Trump's election, China is now likely to attract countries that had previously been anchored in the transatlantic alliance. Europe isn't just closer to China when it comes to issues like climate change, the Middle East, or the Iran nuclear program. It may soon become closer on trade policy, too. I have a quote here from Sigmar Gabriel, Germany's foreign minister. This is what he said. Europe should quickly begin working on a new Asian strategy. Europe should quickly begin working on a new Asian strategy. We should now take advantage of the space that America is freeing up. China, he said, isn't yet ready to be an equal partner for investors. But He's saying that Germany and that Europe, they really need to start looking toward China, looking toward Asia. Just one last, I promise this is the last quote here. Currently, the EU is involved in free trade talks with around 60 countries, with CETA, the controversial deal with Canada, the furthest along. In March, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is coming to Brussels. The EU's been negotiating a trade deal with Japan. Negotiations are underway for a treaty with Vietnam. In South America, the EU is presenting itself as an alternative to the US. And in February, a delegation from the European Parliament's International Trade Committee is headed for Mexico. Mexico right now isn't real excited about its trade relationship with America. Surely that will be reason for them to entertain better trade relations with Europe. This is really just incredibly significant. The whole edifice of global trade and commerce is unstable, it's uncertain, and it's currently being redrawn. All the major world powers are reconsidering their trade relationships and realigning themselves. What can we expect from this process? What does Bible prophecy say we should expect? What will be the political implications of closer relationships or closer trade relations between Germany and China, between Europe and Asia? This is something that you really need to think about because it's going to impact you no matter where you are. This will impact you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. After the break, we will explore some Bible prophecies that forecast this exact development in the end time.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. America's status as the world's lone superpower is rapidly fading. Other nations and groups of nations are angling to fill the void. Rising in the East is an emerging power block of tremendous potential in manpower, economic heft, and military might. Its growing presence is intensifying global competition for resources and for geopolitical influence. Where will this trend lead? What does this mean for you? Biblical prophecy provides a remarkable, penetrating preview of Asia's future. Request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. This book exposes in startling detail what Russia and China are doing and will do, and how they will affect your life. Also, you'll be sent a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine. The Trumpet looks at today's headlines through the clear light of Bible prophecy. The Trumpet will keep you up to date on the continuing rise of the powers in the East by taking a hard look at today's news and comparing it to the prophecies of the Bible. The Trumpet magazine is this world's most informed news magazine. To learn more, request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. Act today and request Russia and China in Prophecy. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Welcome back. That was the first time I've heard that ad for Russia and China Prophecy. Very dramatic. You'll forgive me if I get a little... I'm pretty amped right now. but I completely agree with the ad and the endorsement of thetrumpet.com there. You really do need that website, thetrumpet.com. Check it out. We've just been piling the website with important articles featuring and showcasing important prophecies that Mr. Flurry and Mr. Armstrong before him have been making for decades, and prophecies that are really being fulfilled right now. We're talking about one of those prophecies today. Just wanted to start off this section with a quote from EU President Donald Tusk. This is a quote from a letter that he wrote to EU leaders last week. He said, "We should use the change in the trade strategy of the US to the EU's advantage by intensifying our talks with interested partners. The European Union should not abandon its role as a trade superpower, which is open to others while protecting its own citizens and businesses." But his point is, America is upending all of the trade relationships and the established partnerships around the world. The EU, we need to take advantage of this. The EU needs to step forward and be a leader in global trade. He called the European Union a trade superpower. And he's right. He's right. The European Union, I mean, politically, right now, and this will change, but politically, it's a little bit of a mess. Militarily, it's not as impressive as some others, but the EU already, right now, is a trade superpower. It has more than 500 million people. It already is having an influence and has a major presence. I'll just read a couple of more articles here. Just talking about this same trend of Germany and Europe really prioritizing becoming a larger feature in world trade and commerce. This article was in the Financial Times. It was written by Finland's former prime minister. He says, "You do not have to hold a doctorate in international relations to understand that from the start of President Donald Trump, President Donald Trump is shifting the balance of power in world politics. It is simple. You cannot lead the world or be a champion of globalization if you reject them both." He says, "Whenever a power vacuum emerges, someone needs to fill it." And he's saying that the EU needs to fill the power vacuum. He writes, "Putting Europe first means taking global leadership. What should the EU do? I propose three things." Here's his third proposal for the EU. The third is to take a stronger role in world trade. "The Trump administration will not champion free trade. The EU, as the largest economy, should be aggressively promoting bilateral trade pacts. The EU-Japan trade deal is an example of free trade agreements to come. By the same token, the EU should reach out to Mexico." So here he is, another individual talking about the importance of Germany and Europe emerging as at the vanguard of global trade. I have an article here from Stratfor it's Geopolitical Futures from earlier this week, and it talks about how Germany and China are really improving trade relations. And that trade relationship is growing. Just talking about the improved trade relations between Germany and China, this Geopolitical Futures article. This is what it says. Deutsche Press Agenda reported that the chief economist for the Association of German Chambers of Commerce and Industry said on January 27th, that China had become Germany's top trading partner. Now, technically, that's not true. There's a little bit more nuance to the story. But the point is, both Germany and China, German and Chinese leaders, are singing the praises of the other. They're touting one another, and they're confident that a German-Chinese trade relationship, that it needs to grow stronger. Again, this is really a dramatic, dramatic trend unfolding right now. And every day we see this trend, or we see this development make real progress. The pressure is on Germany and Europe to establish strong trade relationships. Germany is looking to China. Germany and Europe are looking to Mexico. As these European leaders are saying, Germany and Europe, they're about to make themselves the nucleus of world trade. They will also be at the nucleus of world change. Bible prophecy says that. Now, it's important when we talk about this to remember that there are major political and even military dimensions to trade and commerce. Trade and commerce have major political and strategic dimensions. You can't be a trade power and not have political and military power. I'll just read a quote here from, this is from Samuel Huntington, The Clash of Civilizations. This is a bestseller book on international relations. This is what he says about trade and whether or not it increases the likelihood of peace between nations or it increases the chances of conflict. Samuel Huntington, he says, does trade increase or decrease the likelihood of conflict? There's a lot of people out there who think that world trade or more trade and commerce between nations reduces the chance of violence and war and conflict. And, you know, they're thinking that because the nations are coming together and they're trading with one another and their economies are dependent on one another, then each side has a vested interest in preserving the peace. But as Huntington says here, that's not the case. And evidence suggests that that is not true. Does trade increase or decrease the likelihood of conflict? The assumption that it reduces the probability of war between nations is, at a minimum, not proven, and much evidence exists to the contrary. He goes through and gives some historical examples now. The failure of trade and communications to produce peace or common feeling is consonant with the findings of social science. Well, I won't get into that. It's just a bit psychological. But his point is that improved trade relationships do not mean world peace. They do not mean more stability. To the contrary, when you have countries competing to sell goods to one another, and when you have blocks of countries competing to sell goods and export goods so they can keep their economies alive, then you're putting countries, you're putting economies in competition with one another. Here's a quote from a former German president, Horst Koller. This is what he said in May 2010. He said, a country of our size needs to be aware that military deployment is necessary if we are to protect our interests, such as ensuring free trade routes or preventing regional instabilities. So here is the German president in 2010, and he's saying that we need a stronger military if we're going to protect free trade. Now, 6 years ago, or 7 years ago, I guess, coming up on 7 years ago, I mean, that was an extremely controversial statement, and he was fired because of that statement. But the thinking in Europe and the thinking in Germany has now changed. Germany right now, it's the policy of the German government right now that its military should be used to protect German interests abroad. This is official government policy. I'll just read a quote from a white paper produced by the German government in July 2016. The paper lists countering security threats to our free and safe world trade and supply routes as being part of the mission of the German military. See, this is getting to why we need to be concerned when we see China and Germany and Europe and Asia looking to develop trade partnerships and increase trade relations. It's because when you have Germany and Europe emerge as the nucleus of world trade, it means that Germany and Europe, they're going to need a military presence globally to protect their place at the center of world trade. Germany and Europe are going to have a much bigger political presence on the world scene, again, to protect their position at the center of world trade. Becoming the center of world trade, becoming the nucleus of world trade, really does empower Germany and Europe. It makes them stronger. It gives them more influence all around the world. And isn't that something that history tells us we should be concerned about? As I mentioned at the start of the program, this development, the reshuffling and the reconfiguration of trade and commerce relations in this world, and the development, and we're seeing it already, and it's just so obvious today, the development of an axis, a trade axis between Europe and Asia, and if you want to put a country at the head of each, between Germany and China, it really does mark the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And it just makes this observation, it makes this reality that we're seeing in the world so much more interesting and moving and sobering too, because Bible prophecy tells us where or what the end of this relationship or this development will be. In Isaiah 23, I'll just grab my Bible here. We have a very detailed prophecy about a global trade network of nations in the end time. Mr. Gerald Flurry he's written about this prophecy. You can read all about it in our booklet, Isaiah's End Time Vision, I think it's called. But you can go to thetrumpet.com and read that, request that booklet. But here in Isaiah 23, it discusses a global trade network of nations. And it says that Tyre and the end time fulfillment of Tyre, or ancestor of Tyre, is Europe. It's talking about an end time European superstate. Over in Daniel 11, this entity is identified as the King of the North. So the King of the North, or Tyre, is really the theme of Isaiah 23. But this Tyre, this end-time European superstate, here in Isaiah 23, is trading with, well, nations all over the world. In verse 6, it talks about how Tyre is trading with Tarshish, which is Japan. In verse 1, it mentions Chittim, who is China. Verse 13, it discusses the Chaldeans, who are the Italians. Look at verse 3. And by the great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue. And she is a mart of nations. She is a mart of nations. So Tyre and all of these trade partners it has, the Bible calls them a mart of nations. Mart means emporium, trade, merchandise. It's a trade-based relationship. In the Isaiah booklet, Mr. Flurry says, what a dynamic market of nations it is. What a dynamic, what an alive, powerful market of nations it is. On page 63 of that book, Mr. Flurry says, this powerful nation, it's talking about Germany, this powerful nation belongs to a mart of nations, including Europe. And what a dynamic market of nations it is. All of them are going to besiege America, Britain, and the Jewish nation. So the Bible talks about not just the formation of a mart of nations, The Bible prophesies not just a partnership, a trade and commerce partnership between Europe and Asia, but it says that that partnership will have a hatred for the United States and Britain. Part of the reason for that partnership between Asia and Europe will be to undermine and eventually destroy the United States. This mart of nations between Europe and Asia will be the number one or a main competitor to America. On page 65 of the Isaiah booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "With a German-led Europe possessing great maritime power, North America will be surrounded on the east by Europe and the south by Latin America. The Bible contains many prophecies of that European power attacking America." Just skipping down a little bit. That is where China and the giants of Asia enter the picture. In fact, considering that China has come to possess most of the world's strategic sea gates, we believe there may be a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers, Russia, China, Japan. Look at that. We believe there may be a certain or a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers. I didn't take note of the date that Mr. Fleury wrote this book. Could you look that up, Sam? But this would have been written probably years ago. The Trumpet and the Trumpet's editor-in-chief was prophesying of a trade relationship developing between Europe and America. Just continuing with this quote from Mr. Fleury, "This is why Isaiah's prophecy of an end-time mart of nations that includes both European and Asian powers is so intriguing, and why the trend of collusion between these two great economic blocks is worth watching." He's absolutely right. The collusion occurring between Asia and Europe, it is worth watching. Over in Ezekiel 27, we have another prophecy about the King of the North, or this German-led superstate, emerging as a powerful trade entity. 2011 was the last update to the Isaiah booklet. 2011 was the last update to the Isaiah booklet, and I'm not sure if at that time these statements from Mr. Fleury were added, or if they were actually in the first version, which was 1994. But for at least 6 years, those remarks from Mr. Fleury, that forecast from Mr. Fleury, is at least 5 or 6 years old. And today we just see it being fulfilled in dramatic fashion. Back to Ezekiel 27, verses 1 through 6. But again, this too is a prophecy about Tyre, and it's referring to this end-time king of the north. I'll just read verses 1 through 3. "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus." So here's a son of man, and it looks like he has to take up a lamentation, or he has a message for Tyrus. He has a message for the king of the north, "and say unto Tyrus." So go tell the king of the north this, "O you that are situate at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus says the Lord, O Tyrus, you have said, I am perfect beauty." Now, well, there's a lot in those three scriptures. But the point I'm trying to make is that this end time Tyre, this end time king of the north, is, as it says there, a merchant of the people for many isles. This end time king of the north is a trade superstate. It's at the nucleus of global trade. And if you go through and study Ezekiel 27, you can see it doing trade with various nations in the Middle East. You can see it doing trade with Meshach and Tubal, which is referring to Russia. You can see it doing trade with Japan. Again, here's another prophecy, another separate from Isaiah 23, another prophecy talking about Europe coming together with Asia and becoming a trade superstate. there's another prophecy too over in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, I'll just read a few scriptures. Revelation 17, as you probably already know, is all about the seventh resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And as you get toward the end of Revelation chapter 17, we see the prophetic destruction of the Holy Roman Empire. Then as we get into Revelation 18, well, that's really the theme, the prophetic destruction of this end time European superstate. Revelation 18 and verse 1, well, it talks about, I saw an angel come down from heaven having great power. The earth was lighted with his glory. Verse 2, it talks about how Babylon, this end time Babylon, is fallen. It's fallen. It's been destroyed. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Again, here's a third very specific end time prophecy about the king of the north, this German-led European entity, being a merchant of the earth, being the nucleus of world trade. Again, look at these prophecies and then consider the articles that we went through at the beginning of this program. And just watch world news. Every day, it seems, there's a new article talking about how Germany has no idea about its future with the United States and it needs to position itself to have better relations, trade relations with other countries. And Europe needs to do the same thing. These prophecies are being fulfilled. I've just got a couple of quotes here from Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, who warned about this for decades. I mean, this first quote comes from 1968. Now, my history is a little bit rough. I forget when I think it was Nixon went to China and kind of established, better relations between America and China. And from that point on, China, you know, began to emerge as a major world power. But before that, you know, before this this Chinese Renaissance in the late 60s and 70s, China was, I mean, it was a bit of a backwoods, you know, financially and politically. It was a communist state. And it was not a global trade entity. In 1968, China was not a global trade entity. China was not filling the stores of Walmart with products in 1968. But Mr. Armstrong was talking about trade wars at that time. You could say the same over there in Europe. Europe in 1968, I mean, Germany was still divided. There was a gigantic wall right down the middle of Berlin. Europe wasn't this incredibly powerful trade entity. But Mr. Armstrong was talking about trade wars and talking about how trade wars would lead to World War III. Here's that quote from March 26, 1968. Those of you who truly believe the prophecies of your Bible know such economic collapse is prophesied to happen. For years, we have been saying on the World Tomorrow program and in the pages of The Plain Truth that World War III has already begun, but that it is presently economic in nature. We have shown how God prophesied a virtual trade war will get underway against the United States and Britain. Look at that, 1968. And we have an individual prophesying a trade war against America and Britain. And we see that building right now. The sentiment behind these trade negotiations occurring between Europe and Asia is one of animosity for America. The trade war is here, and it's going to get more and more intense. I just have another quote here from Mr. Armstrong. This is from the 1971 Plain Truth. And I just love how balanced he is in this article. I mean, in this quote here, Mr. Armstrong recognizes some of the benefits that might come from America having somewhat of a protectionist approach, putting tariffs on its goods and things like that. But then he says that's going to result in a trade war and World War III. This is what he says. He says, do not mistake me. Do not misunderstand me. I am completely in favor of what is best in the interest of the American worker. So he wanted what was best for his country. But I want my readers to stop and think, because our fellow American workmen are not working in their best interest. Look at where these trends are leading. When American workers are trying to get all they can get and at the same time giving as little as they can get away with, even to giving nothing, and Japanese and German workers in their national interest are working for half the wages or less and working with the further of loyalty and patriotism, it means we are headed one of two ways. Either we start raising high tariff barriers against other countries. That's one option. But notice what he says. Either we start raising high tariff barriers against other countries, starting a trade war, which in time will trigger the nuclear war that will destroy us, or American workers are going to have to meet the competition of the workers in other countries by lowering living standards. Obviously, American workers are not going to choose to do that. And if they don't, well, their handwriting is on our national wall. It's incredible how prescient that quote is. That was written in 1971. Here it is, 2017. And the exact details that Mr. Armstrong talked about are being discussed and possibly implemented today. Tariff barriers against other countries. It's amazing, amazing. How did Mr. Armstrong know that? How did Mr. Armstrong know that? Well, he understood the Bible. He understood prophecies in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. He understood Deuteronomy 28, which talks about America being besieged. Finally, let me just conclude the program today by recalling or reminding you, too, of some statements from the Trumpet's editor-in-chief, Mr. Gerald Flurry. You can read or you can study this prophecy in detail in Ezekiel 27 by requesting our Ezekiel booklet over at thetrumpet.com. And you can study the prophecies in Isaiah 23, 22, and 23 by requesting our free booklet on Isaiah over at thetrumpet.com. But here in this chapter 4 of the Ezekiel booklet, Mr. Flurry's Ezekiel booklet, he discusses the prophecy over there about America's collapse and America's cities burning with fire. You can read that prophecy in Ezekiel 3. Mr. Flurry writes, but notice these very important facts. The first third is burned with fire in the midst of the city, which is under siege. So America's cities will be burning, so many of them, because they'll be under siege. The burning is related to a siege. Herbert Armstrong prophesied for many years that the siege would be our economy being battered by foreign competition. Think about that. America's economy would be battered by foreign competition, trade wars. But those trade wars would lead very directly into America's cities burning with fire. They would cause protests and riots and violence on the streets. That's the outcome of the trade wars that we see happening on the news right now. Continuing with Mr. Flurry here, the siege means, quote, something hemming in, distress. It can also mean, quote, to urge to press upon anyone in pursuit, to besiege a city. And then Mr. Flurry writes, and again, Sam, look it up. When was the Ezekiel booklet written? I think this is a couple of years old, this quote. But Mr. Flurry writes, the U.S. and other Israelite nations are surrounded or besieged by fierce and often unfair competition. America and other Israelite nations are surrounded or besieged by fierce and often unfair competition. Again, that's what's coming. That's what's here. This is from the Ezekiel booklet now, chapter 4. Prophecy indicates that the German-led European Union will soon join forces with Russia, China, and Japan to shut America out of more and more markets. As the U.S. and Britain become less and less competitive worldwide, employment will steadily increase. Just further on down, the United States and Britain are going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocs, Europe and Asia, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. These nations of Israel are going to be literally besieged, economically frozen out of world trade. And that we've seen gigantic steps toward the fulfillment of this prophecy taken over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Massive steps toward the fulfillment of this prophecy have occurred. We are so much closer now to trade wars. And then when we start seeing trade wars, we're on the cusp. We're moments away from America and Britain being besieged. And when they're besieged, the cities start burning. We really do live in the end times. We really do live in the end times. And just these are sobering events. These are sobering subjects to talk about. But it's just absolutely incredible that the Bible was talking about them 2,000 or 2,500 years ago. Isn't it remarkable how such specific detail was prophesied 2,500 years ago in Isaiah 23 and Ezekiel 27 and Revelation 17 and Revelation 18? And it's remarkable, too, how first Mr. Armstrong and then after him, Mr. Gerald Flurry, have been prophesying these exact, or making these exact forecasts, prophecies. And today we're seeing them be fulfilled. I mean, there's something really moving to think about right there. There really is something moving to think about. We're not just talking about world events. We're not just talking about trade wars. We really are talking about Bible prophecy proving God's existence. Bible prophecy revealing where God's work is today. Bible prophecy revealing where God's apostle is today. There really are some just wonderful and incredible truths wrapped up in the events that are unfolding on our computer screens, and that we're reading about every single day. I better leave it there. It's been great being here, and I'll talk to you again soon.